in this kingdom, the treasures of the kingdom are accessible by the key of knowledge.
Vision is a necessity for human survival. You are a deliberate creature of a God in heaven, and you were sent from the realm of eternity into the earth realm in order to fulfill a divine purpose. You are here on a mission.
Jesus died, resurrected to restore us back to the glory realm. Christianity is a call unto the glory life. Christianity is a call unto a life of glory and dominion. You have to be transformed into that version of you that is needed to fulfill your destiny. Through the process of spiritual metamorphosis, mental metamorphosis, the assignment is at the mercy of your personal growth and transformation. It is Festival of Fire, and the fire is burning already. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I say glory to God. Galatians chapter 6 verse 7. Galatians 6 verse 7. Hallelujah. Praise God. Shebora Sida Kambraka Tuskapa. Media, you can title the first message The Necessity of Grace, okay? The Necessity of God's Grace. Galatians 6 verse 7. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap also. Praise God. That shall he also reap. Verse 8. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap what? Corruption. He that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap what? Life everlasting. So what you sow is what you reap. He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap what? Corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap what? Zoe. Life everlasting. Verse 9. Let us not be weary in well doing. Hallelujah. It says, let us not be weary in well doing. Let us not be weary in well doing. Hallelujah. He said, for in due season we shall reap. When does your harvest come? In due season. When do you reap? In due season. In due season we shall reap if we faint not. May you not faint before your harvest time. He said, listen. If you allow yourself to be weary in well-doing, you will end up fainting before your due season to reap. So he says, that's why I started by saying, let us not be weary in well-doing. So you keep doing the right thing, you keep sowing, you keep doing the right thing. Am I communicating? You keep doing it well, and refuse to be weary in well doing. He says that is when you will reap in due season. And then, if you don't faint, praise God. I say, praise God. Go back to that verse 8. He says, he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap what? Corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. So I titled this message, Sowing to the Spirit, okay? Sowing to the Spirit. Hallelujah. Sowing to the Spirit. Let's see this in Amplified. Sowing to the Spirit. Listen, in this life, everything you do is in one of these two categories. You are either sowing to the flesh through your thoughts, your words, your action. Everything you do, everything you say, everything you think, you are either sowing to the flesh or you are sowing to the Spirit. Am I communicating? The whole of life is governed by the law of sowing and reaping. Am I communicating? This whole life that we are living is governed by the law of sowing and reaping. Everything you say, everything you do, the thoughts that go through your mind, in everything, know that you are either sowing to the flesh or you are what? Sowing to the Spirit. He said, if you sow to the flesh, what will you reap? What's your harvest like? Corruption, right? You reap corruption, you reap decay, you reap death, destruction, all of that. But if you sow to the Spirit, and that's what I'm talking about, sowing to the Spirit, you learn to sow to the Spirit instead of sowing to the flesh. The kind of harvest you want is what determines the kind of seed you sow, true of us. If you want a harvest of mango fruit, will you sow maize seed? No. Which kind of seed will you sow? You sow mango seed. If you don't want to reap corruption, then don't sow to the flesh. Am I communicating? You cannot sow to the flesh and reap life eternal. Zoe, impossible. You cannot sow to the Spirit and reap corruption. Can you see that? That's why that scripture started by saying, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he reap. Am I communicating? Look at the Amplified version of Galatians 6 verse 8. For it says, for he who sows to his own flesh, in bracket, lower nature, sensuality. Am I communicating? Where is it people indulging in all manner of sinful pleasure and all of that? What are they doing? They are sowing to what? They are sowing to the flesh. And look at the harvest. What does the Bible call the harvest? Corruption. Are you seeing that? Sensuality. He says, he who sows to his own flesh, lower nature, sensuality, will from the flesh reap decay, ruin, and destruction. Can you see that? Can you see that? So, and then he says, but he who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap what? Eternal life. Hallelujah. Give me this same Amplified, verse 7. It says, do not be deceived and deluded and misled, for God will not allow himself to be sneered at, to be scorned, disdained, mocked by mere pretensions or professions, or by his precept being set aside. He inevitably deludes himself who attempts to delude God. Look at that ending part. For whatever a man sows, that and that only is what he will reap. Okay? Let's take that last part together. 1, 2, 3, go. Whatever a man sows, that and that only is what he will reap. Can you see that emphasis? That and that only will he reap. So you cannot sow to the flesh and mistakenly reap eternal life. Am I communicating? It will not work. You cannot sow yam tubers. You plant yam on your field and mistakenly reap rice. Even in the natural, it does not happen. Am I communicating? Is it sowing and reaping is a spiritual law. And it's not only limited to money or finance. It's a law, it's a general law in every area of life. There are different kind of seed. I think I've taught before. Financial and material seed is just one aspect. There are many other. Prayer is a seed. Fasting is a seed. Your actions are seed. Am I communicating? Obedience is a seed. The words you speak are seeds. There are different kind of seed we sow every day. A human being is a walking, talking warehouse of seed. Through our words, through thinking is a seed. Am I communicating? Through our thought life, through our words, the things we say, through our actions, our behaviors, our character, we are sowing seed. Am I communicating? And he says, whatever a man sows, that shall he reap. The word of God is seed. Knowledge is seed. Information is a seed. Am I communicating? So there are different kind of seed that we sow every day. When you are confessing and declaring God's word, you are sowing seed. Hallelujah. When you are talking negatively, you are complaining, you are sowing seed. And he said, whatever a man sows, that and that only shall he reap. Am I communicating? Sowing to the Spirit. So what does it mean to sow to the Spirit? Write this down. I'll give a few divination. What does it mean to sow to the Spirit? Number one, to sow to the Spirit means to make spiritual investments. To make spiritual investments of your time, energy, and resources into spiritual things. To sow to the Spirit means to make spiritual investments, spiritual deposits, rich spiritual deposits of your time, your energy, and your resources into spiritual things. Praise God. I say praise God. So you are investing, you are making rich investment, rich deposits into things that have spiritual value. And you must learn to value spiritual things above physical things. One of the hallmark of a spiritual man is that they value spiritual things more than every other thing. Carnal believers, they value physical things, material things, above spiritual things. Just like many unbelievers do. But people that are spiritually mature, people that are really spiritual, okay, you will notice one characteristic of them is that they value spiritual things more highly. Am I communicating? We know your level of spirituality by the decisions, by your decisions and your choices, okay? It's one of the ways we know. By your what? Decisions and choices. Now, if somebody, instead of coming for Festival of Fire, the person stay at home is watching series for 4 hours. After that one, he plays another one, another 4 hours. How many hours now? The person is enjoying sensual pleasure from those movies. Now, the person is trading spiritual things, Festival of Fire, for what? Carnal things. Now, that's to tell you that the person is what? A carnal believer. Doesn't have value for spiritual things. That's the truth. The person is behaving like Esau. You know, that was a problem Esau had. He traded the blessing of Abraham, which is spiritual. Am I communicating? You don't see the blessing with your eye. But the food that he traded it for, they say now potty. Is it potty? Porridge. That one was physical. Abi, watch this. The blessing and the food, which one is of greater value? Which one is more important? Which one has more value? The blessing. But the blessing is spiritual in nature. So Esau, out of foolishness, look at what he said. He said, when Jacob said, I will give you, he said, I'm very hungry, I'm at the point of death. He came back from hunting. He perceived the aroma of the food. He said, give me food. The guy said, I'll give you one condition. You know, Jacob is a swindler. Jacob na Wayoman. He said, on one condition. He said, what's the condition? He said, give me the the blessing of the firstborn. I was surprised what Esau said. Esau said, I am perishing with hunger. What is the blessing to me? In other words, he didn't value it. Go and read the story in Genesis 25. He didn't place any value on the blessing. He said, give me food, Joe. In fact, take the blessing. I dash you. Just give me food. Let me survive. The writer of the book of Hebrews said, lest there be any profane person, there be any fornicator or profanity is in the same category with fornication. The profane person was put in the same class with a fornicator, because none of them have value for spiritual things. Both of them don't. He said, lest there be any, Hebrews 12 verse 16, any profane person like Esau, who for a morsel of bread traded his birthright. Hallelujah. You see, who for one morsel of meat is sold his birthright. Don't sell your birthright. I say don't sell. Some have sold their birthright to sleep. Some have sold their birthright to sinful pleasure. Hallelujah. Say with me, I refuse to be a profane person. I choose to value spiritual things very highly. Place very high premium on spiritual things. Listen. There is nothing on earth that can convince me to make me value any physical or material things above spiritual things. Impossible. Hallelujah. If we were sharing $1,000, we will have overflow. This whole hall will be filled to overflow. We'll tell anybody you come for Festival of Fire, $1,000, confirm. And now that the exchange rate has even gone up, how much is $1 to Naira now? It's close to 2,000, ba? Now just imagine, we say confirm. Once, if you will come and stay from the beginning till the end, Festival of Fire, $1,000 guaranteed. Do you know, this whole hall will be packed, even overflow, probably to the road. Especially when it is confirmed that they will get that $1,000. You know why? They value the $1,000. That's why they will come. Now watch this. The spiritual value of this meeting, compare it to $1,000. Which one is more important? But to those that are carnal, the place compared profanity. Am I communicating? What is $1,000 compared to the spiritual value you get from Festival of Fire? You can collect $1,000 from somewhere, and as you are going back, you will die in an accident. Are you listening? Somebody can even carry that $1,000, and then the next year an armed robber robs the person and is trying to drag, they shoot the person, he's gone. You learn to value spiritual things higher. Am I communicating? If you know the spiritual value you get from meetings like this, I'm telling you, you will even be more serious. You see, a lot of us, we need to change our value system. We need to change the way we think. Are you getting me? The spiritual value of this kind of encounter meetings is priceless. Am I communicating? Look at it. Think of it this way. Physical investment, business investment, they yield returns, right? When you make the right investment, you get what we call return on investment, ROI, right? They yield dividends. How much more spiritual investment? There are two types of investment. We have what we call physical investment, business investment, okay, which is good, is great. Then there is what we call spiritual investment. People become very wealthy, people become very rich by through their physical and business investment, which gives them dividend, they make profit, they receive what we call returns on investment. Now let's come to the spiritual side. You can become great and successful in this life, spiritually and otherwise, because life is first and foremost spiritual, okay? When you learn to make adequate spiritual investments. There are some kind of spiritual investment you make today that you will continually reap from the deposit of that investment. As in, you will be enjoying the returns until you leave this planet Earth. Am I communicating? A lot of great and successful men of God and people we admire, if they tell you the kind of spiritual investment, rich spiritual investment and deposit that they have made over the years, the results you are seeing today, you see them enjoying. If you think that is what they are doing now that is giving them that result, you are very wrong. Over the years, they've made so much investment, spiritual investment, and they are now enjoying what we call the returns on the investment. Am I communicating? And that's what you are seeing. Those results you are seeing are the dividends of the years of spiritual investments they have made. Hallelujah. That's why you shouldn't waste your youthful age on nonsense. You shouldn't waste it. You see, the youthful period is a period to make investment into your life and destiny. And the quality of the investment you make is what determines the returns you get. The whole of life answers to the law of sowing and reaping. You cannot reap what you did not sow. It will not work. You cannot reap a harvest of what you didn't sow. Glory to God. I say glory to God. Batisco fracapatia. You prepare for a great future by making adequate and rich spiritual investment in addition to any other form of... Listen, in fact, let me say this now. Listen, before you engage in physical and business financial investment, make sure you have engaged in what? Spiritual investment. Let me say it again. Before doing any form of financial investment, physical investment, business investment, make sure that you have made what? Adequate spiritual investment. Because even the security of your financial investment, the security of your business investment depends on your spiritual investments. So which one should come first? Spiritual investment. Which one is even more important? I'm not saying financial and business investments are not important, but don't put the cart before the horse. Because you can invest in the physical and lose all your money. and lose all your resources if you don't learn to first invest in spirituals. Am I communicating? So your spiritual investment will not just give you return, it will ensure the security of your physical investment, whether it is in business or financial investment. Praise God. I say praise God. I say praise God. Romans chapter 8 verse 5. Romans chapter 8 verse 5. We said, what does it mean to sow to the Spirit? It means to make rich and adequate spiritual investments of your time, energy, and resources into spiritual things. Okay? Make investment into your future. Things that have spiritual value. Spiritual investments, they yield the greatest returns. They give you the highest kind of dividends in this life. They pay you the greatest profits. Hallelujah. Romans 8 verse 5. It says, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Hallelujah. So what you are after is what is it determines what you will mind. It will determine what you will value. It will determine what you will do. Am I communicating? They that are after the flesh do mind what? The things of the flesh. You now see why they sow to the flesh. Why do they sow to the flesh? Because they are after the flesh and they mind the things of the flesh. They are fleshly minded. He said, but they that are after the Spirit, just like us, they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit, you see, because we are after the Spirit, we mind the things of the Spirit. We mind the things of the Spirit. We value the things of the Spirit. We focus on sowing to the Spirit. Hallelujah. Next verse. For to be carnally minded is what? Death. Remember, it says, when you sow to the flesh, you reap corruption. And this scripture says, for to be carnally minded is death. To be carnally minded is risky to your life. Carnality can destroy you. There are some Christians that they were destroyed because they were carnal. Carnality destroyed them. The Bible says to be carnally minded about any area of your life leads to death in that area. Okay? To be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is what? Is what? To be spiritually minded is what? Is life and what? Peace. Hallelujah. Verse 7. Next verse. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Verse 8. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. You see why God doesn't want you to be in the flesh? You see why God doesn't want you to be fleshly minded? He said you cannot please God. You cannot walk by faith when you are in the flesh. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. You can't function by faith. You can't function in faith when you are fleshly minded. Am I communicating? They that are in the flesh cannot please God. Jump to verse 13. Give me verse 13. He said, for if ye live after the flesh, what will happen? If you live after the flesh, what will happen? Help me. He said, ye shall die. If you sow to the flesh, you reap corruption. If you are carnally minded, he said, it's death. And then he's showing you again, if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. If you do everything your flesh tells you to do, he said you will die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify, that word mortify means to deaden the transactions. Aya. Through the Spirit. If ye through the Spirit, not in your own ability, through the Spirit, do mortify, you put to death, you pass the death sentence, you mortify the deeds of the body, he said, you shall live. Hallelujah. Give me this in Amplified. Amplified. Kaleboko Sabakida. Who is getting blessed? Ayayayaya. For if you live according to the dictates of the flesh, you see that? If you live according to the dictates of the flesh, you will surely die. This is serious. This is serious. If you yield to the cravings of your flesh, the impulses of your flesh, telling you to do wrong, telling you to commit sin, telling you not to do the things you are supposed to do, you want, it's time to pray, your flesh tells you don't pray, or it's telling you you are tired, just forget about prayer, it's time to come for festival of fire, it's time to come for glory service, your flesh is telling you, why don't you just rest today? What are you doing? You are yielding to the dictates of the flesh. Am I communicating? The person fornicating, the person committing adultery, the person lying, stealing, the person that is yielding to all those sinful habits, he said, is yielding to the dictates of the flesh. Hallelujah. He said, if you live that way, you will surely die. Say with me, that's not my portion in Jesus' name. He said, but if through the power of the Holy Spirit, you habitually putting to death, making extinct, deadening the evil deeds prompted by the body, you shall really and genuinely live forever. Can you shout amen? What does it mean to sow to the Spirit? Second definition. To sow to the Spirit means to do spiritual business. Okay, to do spiritual business transactions. Psalm 107 verse 23. To sow to the Spirit means to do spiritual business transactions. We are businessmen, oh. I say we are businessmen. I say we are, what are we doing today? Spiritual business. When we come for meetings like this, programs like this, this is spiritual business. We are sowing to the Spirit. Do you know part of what we came to do today is sowing to the Spirit? All what we are doing in Festival of Fire, we are sowing to the Spirit. Are you getting my point? So this is spiritual business transactions. It says, they that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in what? In great waters, in deep waters, not in shallow waters, in great waters, not in small waters, not in shallow waters, in deep waters. There are some kind of fish that you cannot find inside a pond. If you want to catch whale, will you get it inside a pond? Do you see whales in ordinary streams and all of that? Eh? Where do you find whales? Inside ships, seas, right? Oceans. So the kind of fish you are looking for is dependent on the water body, right? You can only find whales inside seas or oceans. Praise God. You will be foolish if you want to catch whale and you are going to fish in maybe river, what, self? Kampala River? Or maybe inside pond or somewhere, it will not work. Some of the answers you seek in life, they are in the deep, they are not in the shallow waters. Am I communicating? Some of the results that you are looking for, you have to go deep. And guess what? The root, the depth of this physical life is in the realm of the spirit. The root of this physical world is in the realm of the spirit. The spiritual was what gave birth to the physical. The spiritual realm is the parent that gave birth to the physical realm. And therefore, the spiritual controls the physical. Therefore, the physical is subject to the spiritual. Am I communicating? If you want any lasting change, you must effect it from the realm of the spirit. Everything happening in this realm has already been programmed. It is being remote controlled from the realm of the spirit. Am I communicating? I'm giving you spiritual intelligence. Am I communicating? People talk about financial intelligence. That's great. People talk about mental intelligence, IQ, in school and all of that. That's wonderful. People talk about emotional intelligence. That's wonderful. People talk about social intelligence. Beautiful. People talk about cultural intelligence, right? But the mother of all intelligences, in quote, is spiritual intelligence. It's at the root, is the core of all other forms of intelligence. Without spiritual intelligence, you may possess all these others we just mentioned and still fail in life, because life is first spiritual. And life is primarily spiritually controlled. Am I communicating? Am I communicating? They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters. This sea, next verse. He said, these are the category of people that see the works of the Lord. Do you want to see the works of the Lord? He said, do business in deep waters. Engage in spiritual transactions. Do spiritual business transactions in the deep waters of the Word and the Spirit of God. You will see the works of God. You will see the wonders of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I say glory to God. We said to sow to the spirit, number two, means to do spiritual business transaction. You are doing business with God. You are transacting with spirits. You know, God is a spirit. Angels are spirit. Satan is a spirit. Demons are spirits. Life is spiritual. Listen, the spiritual world is not separate from the physical world in your mind. Stop thinking it that way. The earth, this physical realm, is a small echo department of the bigger world of the spirit. Are you seeing? We are on earth now. Do you know the realm of the spirit is here? So they are not one, two separate entity. Stop seeing it like that in your mind. Hey, maybe I should draw something. Because when we say the spiritual world, the spiritual realm, the physical realm, many of you in your mind, you are seeing them as one separate entity. Watch this. If this is the spiritual world, the earth is one small echo department. This physical, material, physical or material realm. Praise God. So watch this. The earth realm that you can see is inside the spiritual realm. Am I communicating? So they are not separate. Stop thinking of it that way. They are not separate. The earth is a small echo department of the larger world of the spirit. The earth, the seen visible realm, this nebulous realm, this material universe, is a small echo department of the bigger realm of the spirit. Am I communicating? Do you know, as I'm talking now, there are angels here. Now, you are not seeing them with this physical eye until the Holy Spirit opens your eye. That's to tell you, the realm of the spirit is here. You move around, there are demons that move with people. There are demons on assignment. There are angels on assignment. How do I explain this thing to you? Are you getting this? God is a spirit. Angels are spirit beings. Man is a spirit. He has a soul. He lives in his body. Because man is a spirit, he participates in the realm of the spirit. In fact, this is even the series I am on Peace FM, PRTV, Life is Spiritual. How many of you have been following the series? Very powerful. You can download the message. It's on our Telegram channel, right? It's such a great blessing. You must understand the spirituality of life if you want to walk in dominion over this earth realm, okay? The spiritual realm is a realm of infinite possibilities. Is a realm of eternal now. There is no present, past, or future in the realm of the spirit. No. But in this earth realm, there is present, past, future, because it's a realm of time. It's governed by time. Okay. But the realm of the spirit is not limited by time. In fact, time does not exist. There is nothing like time. The realm of the spirit is a realm of timelessness. It's a timeless zone. There is no present, past, future there. There is no tomorrow. There is no yesterday. It's a realm of eternal now. There is no time in the spirit realm. There is no distance. And there is no matter. Matter is immaterial. What is matter? Is a matter is anything that has what? Weight and occupy space. That's in the physical realm. But if you enter the realm, when you begin to transact in the spirit realm, you realize that matter is immaterial. There is no distance. What we call miracle, in the realm of the spirit, there is no miracle, because it's normal. It's a normal occurrence. Are you seeing this? It's what we call miracle in this realm. In the spirit realm, it's like a normal occurrence. Because it's just the product of application of spiritual laws. You apply this law, you get this result. In fact, miracles occur in this earth realm when higher spiritual laws temporarily suspend and override lower natural laws. Are you seeing this? Because there are spiritual laws God has put in motion. God has already put in place. God has instituted. There are spiritual laws and there are natural laws that govern the universe. When we talk about the laws of God, they are in two categories. There is the natural laws of God. Then we have the spiritual laws of God. But the spiritual laws are superior to the natural laws. Am I communicating? Life and its outcome are law-driven. The results you get, they are controlled by laws. God created the earth to be governed by laws. Success or failure in life depends on the application, the understanding and application of these laws, or failure to do so. Am I communicating? When you understand and apply the relevant laws, you get the right result. But when you fail to apply those laws, you fail to engage them with understanding, then what do you get? Failure, right? So that means success or failure are predictable based on those laws. They are predictable. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So he says, they that do business in deep waters, these see the works of God and his wonders in the deep. The works of God are not on the surface. The wonders of God are not on the surface. They are where? In the deep. Let me tell you, nobody in the deep. So you must go deep. You must go deep. You must launch out into the deep. Okay? Give me Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, verse 4. Luke chapter 5, verse 4. So, you must learn to launch out into the deep to get the results that you desire. Certain kind of results cannot be gotten on the surface or in shallow waters. Now, when he, Jesus, had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep. Are you seeing that? Launch out into what? Launch out into. That's to tell you the answer, the result you desire, the answer you seek, they are in the deep. Am I communicating? So your depth of spirituality determines the height of your success and greatness. The depth of your spirituality determines the kind and quality of results that you command. Hallelujah. The depth of your spirituality. Am I communicating? Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a drought. And the summary is that when he finally obeyed, there was a mighty, miraculous catch of fish. Hallelujah. So, we said to sow to the Spirit means to make rich and adequate spiritual investment of your time, energy, and resources into spiritual things. Okay? Then, number two, we said to sow to the Spirit means to do spiritual business transactions. Hallelujah. It says, he that sows to the flesh shall of the flesh reap what? Corruption. He that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap what? Life eternal. Glory to God. So, number three, what does it mean to sow to the Spirit? It means to sow spiritual seeds. To sow spiritual seeds in order to receive abundant harvest. To sow spiritual seeds in order to receive abundant harvest. Hallelujah. A human being is a walking, talking warehouse of seeds. All that we do on a daily basis, we are sowing seeds. We are sowing seeds through our words, our thinking, our actions, our behavior. Am I communicating? Our character. We are sowing seeds. So, you sow the kind of seed that you desire harvest in that area. Glory to God. When you want a particular kind of harvest, you know the kind of seed you will sow. Glory to God. I say glory to God. I say glory to God. Any kind of harvest you don't want, don't sow that kind of seed. Glory to God. Any kind of the lady that snatches her friends, the boyfriend of her best friend, she snatched and married him. Then after the marriage, another Jezebel came and snatched her own husband. What has happened? Whatever a man sows, that shall he reap. And you know, your harvest is always greater than your stealing somebody's boyfriend and stealing somebody's husband. Which one is worse? The whole of life answers to the law of sowing and reaping. Is like that. It's like that. The pastor that scattered the church he was serving, caused problem, and then left, and then tomorrow he said, God have called him, he wants to start his own church. Satan will anoint another person in that church to give him the harvest of the seed he sowed. It's like that. And his own will even be worse. Am I communicating? Any kind of harvest you don't want, don't sow that kind of seed. It's a very simple principle. Anything you don't want to happen to you, don't do it to others. Do you know the golden rule? Jesus said, whatever you want done to you, do it to others. As in, sow the seed of that thing. Praise God. The way you want others to treat you, treat them. The way you want others to speak to you, speak to them. Whatever a man soweth, that shall he reap. Whatever good thing a man does, the same shall he receive from the Lord. Hallelujah. The Bible never said you will reap where you sowed. It said you will reap what you sow. So your harvest will come not from where you sowed. Am I communicating? It will come. It's a law. The law of sowing and reaping is a law. You can't break it. The moment you have sown a seed, somebody said, I was good to this woman, I tried for this person, I helped this person, but look at how the person is treating me now. Now that God has blessed the person, now the person has made it, the person is not even looking at my side, is not picking my call. Calm down. The Bible never said you will get your harvest from that person. The good you did to the person, you sowed the seed. Abi, God will bring your harvest from anywhere and everywhere. Glory to God. So remove your eye from that person. It's not from the person your harvest will come. You have obeyed the law. Am I communicating? God will raise destiny helpers to help you too. It's as simple as that. So don't make somebody's bad behavior to stop you from being good. Keep sowing those good seeds. Glory to God. Forget about the person's yeye character. I helped the person didn't tell me thank you. I gave the person money. Even common thank you self, the person no fit talk. But if you are that person, you too, you be mumu. Are you not supposed to be grateful? But you that render the help, you have obeyed the law. Remove your eyes from the person. That's not where your harvest will come from. God will give you your harvest. God will raise others. Am I communicating? To be a blessing to you too. He says, give, it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaking together, running over, shall men pour into your bosom. Hallelujah. So now, let's look at how do we sow to the Spirit. Okay? We've looked at what does it mean to sow to the Spirit. Now, how do we sow to the Spirit? How do we sow to the Spirit? How do we sow to the Spirit? Or you can call it dimensions of sowing to the Spirit. Okay? The dimensions of sowing to the Spirit. Number one, you sow the seed of God's word into your heart. You sow the seed of God's word into your heart. Hallelujah. You sow the seed of God's word. Let's look at Luke chapter Luke chapter 4 verse 1. Luke chapter 4 verse 1. Listen to this. The greatest seed you can ever sow is the seed of God's word. Because the word of God is the most important thing in this life. It's more important than money, it's more important than cars, than houses, it's more important than all the wealth in this world put together. Remember, the word of God created this whole world, right? God created the world by his word. The whole of creation is a byproduct of the word of God. So, ask yourself a question. The creation and the creator, which one is greater? The creator. That's why me, I value God's word more than everything else, okay? It's people that don't have understanding that they put more value on other things. They put more value on money than they put on God's word. Are you seeing something? Forgetting that it was through the word of God that everything, both visible and invisible, were made. Am I communicating? The word of God is a creator of the entire universe and its content. So, it is the greatest seed you can ever sow. And the place you can ever sow it is your heart. Your heart is the ground, is the soil where you sow the seed of the word. That's why every opportunity to hear God's word is a very, very crucial opportunity. Don't waste it. Take advantage of it. Take advantage of it. Am I communicating? In my personal opinion, I realize those that listen to God's word more, those that listen to the teaching of God's word, that value it. You see them, they come for meetings. You see them, glory service, they are there. Friday meeting, throne of grace encounter, they are there. Festival of fire, they are there. Any time we are meeting, you see them there. The messages on the Telegram channel, they listen to it. In my opinion, I realize those people, they do well. In fact, they grow faster, spiritually and otherwise. And they do better in life compared to those that don't. Am I communicating? Why? Because the word of God is the greatest seed. Everything you ever need in this life, when you learn to sow the seed of the word of God, it will produce the harvest of everything else. Am I communicating? This is very important. So you pay premium attention to the word of God. He said, my son, Proverbs 4:20, attend to my word. Some are attending more to movies. Some are attending more to comedy. Some are attending more to football. Some are attending more to other things. Some are attending more to, you understand? They don't have time for the word of God. You see, something is wrong with their sense of value. Am I communicating? The greatest seed you can ever sow is the word of God, and is into the soil of your heart. So you have to keep hearing the word of God. Keep listening to the teaching of God's word. Am I communicating? Recently, we packed to our new place, and then I was going through some of my old journals and jotters that I used to take note when I listened to messages, I listen to teachings, meetings, all those my jotters. I was so many of them, so many. I was trying to go through some of them. I was surprised the things I was seeing. I was so surprised. I looked at it. I said, what? I said, do you know I can preach entire series from some of those journals? It was part of my preparation. Hallelujah. It's part of my preparation period that molded me into the person I am today. Today, people listen to me speak. People on radio, people everywhere listen to our messages, even outside Nigeria, and they get blessed. Why? Because I've spent time investing, and I'm still investing in myself. Am I communicating? So you learn to value highly. Sow the seed of God's word. It will transform your life. The word of God will renew your mind and transform your life. How will you know you are growing? Some of you, Facebook has helped your life. Check what you posted. You know, sometimes Facebook will remind you of some old posts, right? Just less 7-8 years ago. Just check what you posted, because you made that post based on your level of understanding then. Now compare. You know, sometimes you see those things you posted and say, "Kai, now wow, so I mumu like this. So now me post this thing." So you will now appreciate what has happened to you. Somebody say metamorphosis. You will know you have grown. Why? Your understanding has been upgraded and updated. Hallelujah. It is the word of God that brings about that change in your mindset. There was a way you were thinking before you started coming to AGMI. There was a way your life is. Some of you, to be honest with yourself, those that know you, they can testify that ever since you started coming to AGMI, your life has changed positively. Even the way you reason is different now, because your mindset has changed. There is metamorphosis, transformation. The word of God will build you up. The word of God will transform your life 360 degrees. It will give you a new way of thinking. Am I communicating? God cannot change your life until he changes how you think. And what does he use to change how you think? It's his word. The word of God, the number one assignment is to give you a mindset. Is to change your mindset. Change your belief system. Am I communicating? It says, "Be ye transformed." Romans 12 verse 2. Don't be conformed to this world. Don't allow the world squeeze you into their mold, their way of thinking. It's just like right now, because of the harsh economic condition now. The way things are boiling in the economy. If you are not intentional about renewing your mind with the word of God, chances are that you will start thinking and talking like the people of the world. Am I communicating? And when you think and talk and behave like them, you will get their kind of result instead of kingdom result. Am I communicating? Don't allow the world to squeeze you into their mold. That's why you should listen to God's word even more than you listen to news. If you listen to news more than you listen to God's word, do you know what will happen? Seeds of fear will be sown in your heart. Seeds of doubt and unbelief will enter your heart. You will start conforming to this world. I'm not saying don't listen to news at all. It's good to know what is happening. But don't do it at the detriment of the word of God. Am I communicating? Soak yourself in the word. Constantly bombard your heart and mind with the word of God. Invest quality time hearing God's word. It is part of my habit. There is no day that passes without me listening to at least one message. It's part of my personal growth and development plan. To build my faith, to transform my life, I must listen to one faith-filled, spirit-filled message, one per day, minimum of one. There are days I listen to more than one. In fact, many times I listen to more than one. Am I communicating? We have our Telegram channel. There are messages there. Those messages are not for decoration. Do you have a personal growth plan? How is your daily routine like? How do you plan your day? Do you include feeding on God's word? Do you include listening to messages? Do you take advantage of every opportunity to hear God's word? Am I communicating? This is very important. The parable of the sower in Mark chapter 4, look at it. Mark chapter 4. The parable of the sower from verse 1, Mark 4 1. And he began to teach, talking of Jesus, by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. Am I communicating? Next verse. And he taught them many things by parables. He taught them many things by parable, and said unto them in his doctrine. Move on. Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. Next verse. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside. And the fowls of the air came up and devoured it. Next. And some fell on stony ground, where it had no much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. Next verse. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. Verse 7. He said, and so some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. Next verse. And some fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some what? 100-fold. Next verse. And he said unto them, he that had a ear, let him what? Hear. Verse 10. And when he was alone, they that were with him, with the 12, asked of him the parable. Okay? 11. Then Jesus, he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, these things are done in parables. Next verse. That seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted, and their sins should be forgiven them. Next verse. And he said unto them, know ye not this parable? Did you hear that? Don't you know this parable? How then will you know all parables? Hold it here. Very profound statement. Jesus is saying here, if you don't understand, if you don't know the parable of the sower, you won't be able to understand all other parables, because this is the mother of all parables. Jesus gave parable about so many other things. Parables about the kingdom, parables about money, finance, so many other parables. But Jesus said, this is the mother of them all. Because the word of God is the greatest seed. Are you listening? He said, if you don't understand this parable of sower, you won't be able to understand any other parable. This is the foundation. That's why he said, know ye not this parable? How then will you know all parables? So the parable of the sower is the parable of all parables. Let me say it again. The parable of the sower is the parable of what? All parables. Is the mother of all other parables. Praise God. Then next verse. Let's read. Verse 14. The sower soweth the word. Now, hold it here. Luke's account, Luke 8 verse 11. We'll come back here. Luke 8 verse 11. It says a similar thing. Now the parable is this, talking of the parable of the sower. The seed is what? The seed is the word of God. Say it again. The seed is the word of God. Say it a third time so that it will sink in. The seed is the word of God. Listen, the word of God is the greatest seed. It is more important than every other thing. Am I communicating? The reason why any other seed that you sow will work is because of this one, the word of God. Am I communicating? The seed of God's word must be planted into the soil of your heart. How do you plant it? Proverbs 4:20. How do you plant the seed of God's word? Let's look at how you plant it into the soil of your heart. My son, attend to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. So you must incline, pay attention to the word. Give God's word your undivided attention, focus. Then he says, incline your ear. By hearing it continually. There are times I sleep listening to God's word using my earphone. And then while some people in their dream, they are always pursuing their masquerade. Some of us are having encounters with Holy Ghost, all manner of wonderful encounters. Why? Because we are listening to the word. Some of you watch horror film before you sleep, and then you are not having nightmares. Why won't you have nightmares? You open yourself up to demons. Am I communicating? Spirit of fear. That's what you get when you keep watching horror film all the time. Horror film all the time. You open yourself to the spirit of fear. And when that spirit comes, it will bind you. You become a lawful captive. Am I communicating? It matters what you expose yourself to. There are two gates. Listen. The two gates through which things gain entrance into your heart. Number one is the eye gate, what you see. Number two, ear gate, what you hear. So you must put the word of God before your eyes. You must keep hearing the word of God. Am I communicating? Because anything you keep seeing and you keep hearing will gain entrance into your heart and put your life on autopilot. Am I communicating? That is how things gain entrance into your life. That is how they gain entrance into your life. Glory to God. So you must be intentional. You must do this with intentionality. Don't leave it to chance. He said, incline your ear to my sayings. Incline your ear to my sayings. Some are inclining their ears to comedy. Some are inclining their ears to network news. Incline your ears to my sayings. Next verse. Let them not depart from your eyes. Are you seeing another gate? It started with the ear gate. And now say eye gate. Put it before your eyes. Am I communicating? Then keep them in the midst of your heart. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anything you keep hearing and keep seeing, it's just a matter of time. You will start believing it, whether it is true or false. Whether that thing is a truth, whether it is true or it is a lie. As long as you keep hearing it and you keep seeing it, over a period of time, it will gain entrance into your heart. You will start believing it, whether true or false. It's a powerful principle. Am I communicating? Anything you keep hearing and keep seeing, you will start believing. Why? It will enter your heart. And if that thing is not God's word or is not in line with the word of God, I feel sorry for you. Okay? Incline your ears to the word of God. Romans 10:17, he says, so then faith cometh how? By hearing. And hearing by the word of God. The word of God will build your faith. Every man or woman is a byproduct of what they hear consistently. That's why I always tell people, it matters the kind of teachings you are exposed to. Doctrine control behavior. Doctrine determines the quality of people's life, the kind of doctrine they are taught, the kind of doctrine they are exposed to. Am I communicating? False teaching is worse than false prophecy. I'll say it again. False teaching is worse than false prophecy. Because teachings control people's mindset. It shapes mindset. It affects belief system. And people's mindset is what controls their behavior and action. Am I communicating? So when you see people, okay, listen. You don't even need to look too far. Look up. You know, Plateau State is a very religious city. This is a religious state, true or false? One of the spirits in Plateau is the spirit of religion. If you see the behavior and the action and the way of thinking and the mentality of the average person in Plateau, it's a byproduct of the kind of teaching that they receive in the church they attend. Am I lying? The kind of teachings that they receive is what shaped their mentality. It shaped their mindset. It's affecting their attitude. It's what is controlling and affecting their behavior and action. So sometimes you wonder why the person is thinking this way. You wonder why the person's perspective, their worldview is like this. You wonder why this person is behaving this way. You have to first start by changing what they are listening to and what they are hearing consistently. Am I communicating? If they don't listen to the right message, they will never believe the right thing and they will never behave the right way. It's like that. A man of God wrote a book. Is it The Power of Right Believing? The Power of Right Believing. When you hear the right stuff, the right message, the right word of God, the right teaching, then you believe it. When your believing is right, okay, let me start with wrong. When your believing is wrong, what will happen? Your mindset will be wrong. Your actions and behavior too will be wrong. But when you are exposed to the right thing and you believe the right thing, what will happen? You have the right mindset and then your behavior and action will be right. So most of the times we are wondering why people's actions and behavior are wrong, forgetting that it's a byproduct of what they are exposed to that has shaped their mindset and their belief system. So you have to go to the control tower to change it. This is why we must preach the gospel. This is why we must use every available platform to preach the gospel. In fact, there are even some people that have been taught that ministries like this, they say they are like cult group. Anashan Jini Awering and Jenu. That's what they were told. That's what some of them were told. Painfully itself is even some of their priests that told them those things. Can you imagine? Some people think we are sucking blood here. Lazarus, are we blood suckers? Are we eaters of flesh and drinkers of blood? Except the blood of Jesus that we take during communion, right? And then drink his blood and eat his flesh. You know, it's so funny. Some of you that have been inviting people, you must have been exposed to some of those kind of mindsets. Have you, Pastor Shola? You see somebody come once, come twice, nowhere to be found. Why are you not coming? Say, my parents warned me, they warned me. Say, don't go there, oh, don't go there, oh, don't go there, oh, those people. They are what? What do they usually say? Example. Hallelujah. Some believe we are using demonic power to do miracles. Some believe we don't go Port Harcourt, go wash eye, collect charm. Some believe, self, this speaking in tongues is the. Somebody say mindset. Somebody say doctrine. Doctrine is very important. It governs behavior. It determines action. Am I communicating? Some of you, if you knew what you know now, if you had known it, let's say 20 years ago, imagine how your life will be by now. When I started learning some truth from the Word of God and all of that, and start getting the right exposure and listening to some of the right message, I then sat down. I say, what? I say, how come I did not know these things I knew now, like 10 years ago? I became angry with myself. Praise God. Because I know the kind of progress my life will have made. Every man is a product of what he hears. Am I communicating? Let's finish parable of the sower. Glory to God. It says, the sower sowed the word. Okay, next verse. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately. Look up. Can you see that? Satan, he didn't come tomorrow. It's not the following day. He said he cometh what? The moment people hear the word, Satan cometh. What does that teach you about the adversary? That's to tell you, Satan is afraid of you receiving the seed of God's word. Because he knows that this is the most important thing in life. So the devil will do everything possible to stop you from receiving the word, or stop you from understanding the word. Are you seeing something? So Satan fights at 2 points. If you study the parable of the sower, you realize he fights at 2 points. Number one is the reception of the word. When that one fails, he will go for the next round. What's his next formula? The next area Satan fight is the retention of the word in your heart. If you study the parable of the sower, all the ones that the word did not produce, they have one of these two problems: either the reception of the word or the retention of the word. For those seed that fell by the wayside, he said, these are they that heard the word but did not understand. And the word of God you hear but don't understand cannot transform your life, cannot even benefit you, it cannot profit you, it cannot build your faith. Am I communicating? So he said, those that fell by the wayside are those that they heard the word, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their heart. Very interesting. When I saw this, I was really surprised. I said, so Satan can steal the word of God from people's heart when they hear it but don't understand it. I see something. Anytime you hear the word but don't understand, he says, it's like those seed that fell by the wayside. That's why the Bible says, with all thy getting, get understand. The word you are hearing, do you understand? Understandest thou what thou readest? That was the question Philip asked the utopian eunuch, so that Satan will not come and steal that word. Sometimes it's so interesting, after service, what people heard and understood. Maybe we'll start doing media. Maybe you start doing an interview after service. Just get, how was the service? What did you learn? What did you? You'll be surprised. You'll be surprised what people will be telling you. Praise God. It matters. Your hearing and understanding the word, it matters. When you hear the word but don't understand, you are giving opportunity for Satan to come and steal the word from your heart. Because it is the most important thing, it's the greatest asset. And Satan fight what he fears, and he fight the most what he fears the most. So when he see you having access to the word, he will do everything to stop the word from coming to you. If he cannot stop you from hearing the word, he will start fighting to ensure you don't understand, so that he can steal the word from your heart. Say with me, not me. Say, I receive the spirit of wisdom. I receive the spirit of revelation. I receive insight into mysteries and secrets. I receive the spirit of understanding. You know, the Holy Spirit is a spirit of understanding. The Holy Ghost can open your understanding. Praise God. The greatest thing Satan seeks to steal from you is not your money. The number one thing Satan wants to steal is not your phone, is not your health, is not your husband, is not your wife. The greatest, most important thing he wants to steal is the word of God. Look at it there. Next verse. That's the greatest thing Satan seeks to steal from the heart of believers, is the word of God. He said, these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, which are sown on stony ground. That ground is their heart too. He said, who when they have heard the word, they heard the word, immediately received it with gladness. Have you been there? The word of God came to you. Wow, you were excited. Glory to God. You were glad. And it's good. The Bible says we should receive the word with gladness, right? It's scriptural. But what was the problem with this category of people? Is it the gladness that they received the word with? No. Let's find out. Next verse. It says, and have no root in themselves. This is the problem. No depth. The word was not deeply rooted in their heart. Are you seeing something? The word was not deeply rooted. No conviction. They were not fully persuaded about the word that they heard. You know, it's one thing to hear. It's another thing to understand. There is another thing to become fully persuaded and completely convinced about the word. Are you getting me? There are some truth that has entered, is tattooed in my heart from God's word. Nothing and nobody can shake it out of me. Not even at gunpoint. It has become my conviction. Am I communicating? It has become my conviction. This is the challenge with so many Christians. They hear the word, but there is no depth. They have no root in themselves. That's why sometimes you have to listen to some messages and teachings again and again and again and again and mix it with tongues. There are messages that I listen to speaking in tongues. If I listen to it the first time, I know that I didn't get this thing. I didn't get it. I listen to it the second time, I will listen to it in tongues. What am I doing? The prayer I'm praying in tongues will open my heart so that the thing will enter very well and it will drive it very deep. Am I communicating? It says, break up the fallow ground. Sow not among thorns. It's time to seek the Lord. So speaking in tongues is important sometimes when you are hearing the word of God, because it will help to drive it deep. Tell your neighbor, drive it deep. So that the thing will not just be on the surface. So that you will have depth. So that you will have conviction and become fully persuaded. Glory to God. Many Christians, they compromise and abandon their faith because they lack conviction. Their Christianity does not have conviction. Imagine a boss telling a Christian lady that is working as his secretary in an office organization. He say, if you don't sleep with me, if you don't agree, like I do, I will sack you. And she needs the job. Now, that is a test of our conviction. If she is not a Christian, that the word of God has taken root in her, if she lacks rock solid conviction, she will compromise. But the one that has conviction will say, like Joseph said, how can I do this evil and this great wickedness? Is that not what Joseph said? When Mrs. Potiphar offered herself on a platter, he said, come and sleep with me. Nobody will know. Because Joseph had the fear of God. The word of God had taken deep root in him. It has become his conviction. He refused. Am I communicating? He didn't compromise. This is very important. He says, the seed that fell on stony ground, these are they that hear the word with gladness, but have no root in themselves, and so endure for a time. They endure for a time. So their faith has deadline, right? Their faith has deadline, okay? Afterward, when affliction. Did you notice he uses when, not if? When affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake. There are some affliction and persecution that Satan will stir up because of the word you have heard. What is his goal? Why does he bring those affliction and persecution? Is so that you will get offended at the word of God, so that you will stop believing it, so that you will reject it and call it a lie. Have you been there? That you are receiving. Okay, let me give you a good example. This is our year of abundance, ba? And you check, even 5 naira no day. Account balance, 2 naira 50 kobo. And you are owing MTN, 1.5. And then you check prophetic word, abundance. And then Satan will whisper to you, no be lie. See, the devil is an expert at doing that. He will bring the opposite experience of that word. A pastor, the day he was bubbling with revelation of divine healing and divine health, he was preparing to preach it Sunday morning. He has arranged his sermon Saturday, everything. He woke up with one big boil around his mouth. Persecution, affliction arising for the word's sake. Satan is trying to make a statement. Say, let me see the mouth with which you will preach that message. But thank God the pastor didn't back down. He still preached it like that. Am I communicating? Sometimes is when you are receiving revelation of divine health and healing, that is when Satan will attack your health the more. What is his goal? To make you, to get you offended at God's word. There are many Christians that Satan have used his strategy to finish them off. So many that are angry at God. They will tell you something like, if God really loves me, why did he allow this and this to happen to me? Those bad negative things. If God really loved me, why did he allow my uncle or my brother or my father to rape me when I was young? So, are you seeing something? Satan has succeeded in convincing them that God hates them. That's why those negative experiences, that it was Satan himself that engineered it to. Oh yeah. You see this Satan, how he operates? He will engineer those negative things, then he will now hide and whisper to people, it is God that brought it on you. And then he will now tell them, that God does not love you, he hates you. Then he will now tell them, hate him back. So they are beefing God. There are many people like that. They've stopped going to church. And if you ask them, some of them said their father is a pastor. It's offense, oh. The problem is offense. Their heart is already offended at God. So when you are telling them, you quote this scripture, they will complete it for you. They'll say, just calm down. Say, in fact, I was the choir leader in my church before this and that happened to me. Are you listening? They will tell you, I was very vibrant. I was even in prayer band before such things happened. If God really loved me, why did he allow my father and my mother to die in accident when I was still young and nobody to take care of me? As if it was God that caused it. Are you seeing something? People having all manner of questions in their heart. That's why we teach and make people understand the nature of God. See, if you don't understand the nature of God, your theology will have question mark. If you don't understand that God is love, the Bible says God is love. So if anything happens to me, I will use that scripture to judge it. I will know the one that it was God that brought and the one that it is Satan. Are you getting me? The Bible says every good gift, every perfect gift cometh from above, the Father of light. So is sickness a good gift? Is accident a perfect gift? Are you getting me? You need to understand the nature of your Father so that you'll be able to judge whether your life experience, it was him that was responsible or it was not him. Are you getting me? But spirit of religion say, Komi Alani. Komi Alani. Have you heard that statement? So if I carry dagger now, God forbid, and I cut off your head, I will never do such thing. Is it God that cut off your head? So religion attributes everything to God. So you hear people talk like Job. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh. Blessed be the name of the Lord. They forget that even Job did not have the privilege to read the book of Job. You don't know? Was it God that taketh? Was it God that took? It was the first part is true. The Lord giveth. Was it not God that gave him everything he had? He was the richest man in the East. He had a great business. Very successful, wealthy man. He had a great family. God gave him all those things, including his health. But if you read the story today, was it God that took? Satan. Satan took advantage of his fear. Job said, the thing which I greatly feared has come upon me. His fear led to negative confession. And his negative confession, sponsored by fear, broke the edge of protection. And then Satan came in and attacked. Are you seeing something? This is very important. Malakabaso freketinas. Pay premium attention. In my opinion, I realize of all the departments, the fastest growing is media in AGMI. And the reason is simple. They are more exposed to our teachings. They are more exposed to God's word and they listen to it more. And you can't do that and not grow. Impossible. Except you don't apply yourself to it. Are you listening? This is more important. You speak according to your understanding level. You talk according to your level of understanding. You behave. Everything is powered by your understanding. We know your level of spiritual maturity by your level of understanding. Paul said, when I was a child, I thought as a child. I understood as a child. And I speak as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. So, when I read your post, I know your level of understanding. When I hear you talk, especially when you are under pressure, I like to see how people handle pressure because it tells me a lot about their level of spiritual growth and maturity. Anybody can talk and behave nice and quote the word when everything is going fine. But just watch how they handle crisis moments. When crisis situation come, watch how they talk. Watch how they behave. It will tell you their level of spiritual growth and maturity. Am I communicating? This is very important. When temptations come, how do they respond to temptation? When afflictions and persecution arise for the word's sake, and notice it is not God that brought up those persecutions. Is it God that brought it? No, it's Satan. And what is his goal? Like I told you, what is Satan's goal for bringing those things your way? To get you offended at God and his word. And to make you believe, you know, they work. It does not work. Have you heard people talk like, this thing does not work? Say, I've tried it, the thing did not work. Mm-mm. Before you were born, the word of God was working. Before the heavens and earth were even created by the word of God was working. So it is not the word that failed to work. It is you that did not know how to work it. It's a user problem. Leave the word alone. The word does not have any problem. It's not, oh God, your word is not working. It's, oh me, what did I not do well? What didn't I understand? You review it. Am I communicating? So you invest time. You study the word. There are levels of interacting. You start by reading the word. Reading is just to get information, observation and information. Reading is for observation and information. Number two, you study the word. You study the word. In studies, you go deeper than just reading. This is where you start comparing scriptures with scriptures. Am I communicating? This is why sometimes you start checking the root meaning of certain words. You carry your Hebrew Greek lexicon. You carry even your Oxford dictionary. You start checking, you understand? You carry different translations. Praise God. I always say your phone must have Bible inside. If there is no Bible, na stone, no be phone. Except it doesn't have capacity for Bible. Like all this Nokia what? 3310, ba? Uh-huh. But once you have a smartphone that has capacity for Bible application and you fail to install Bible, it is a stone. So according to me, what is a stone? A phone without Bible that has capacity for Bible, but the person fails to install Bible. In fact, before you start installing any other application, the first application you should install is what? Bible. At least one translation. You can have more than one, okay? But at least one. Your tablets, your tabloids, technology has made it easier. You can go mobile with the word. There are even audio Bibles that all you need is just on it with your data. It will just be reading the whole scripture for you. Am I communicating? So you study the word. Next, you meditate on the word. This book of the law, Joshua 1:8, shall not depart out of your mouth. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy ways prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. So you meditate on the word. Meditation is in different stages. You start by contemplation. You ponder on the word. You think deeply. Here you are not just speed reading it. You are thinking deeply about what you are reading. You ponder. Contemplation is often silent. Am I communicating? It is often silent. You contemplate. You ponder deeply. Okay? You ruminate the word. You roll it in your mind. You ponder deeply on it. You think about it. That's a stage of contemplation. Then you move to the next phase. You start visualizing the word. You start seeing pictures painted by that word. Pictures of what the word of God is talking about. Images. It pops up in your mind. It pops up in your heart. Am I communicating? You are seeing the visions of the word. The visions, revelations. You are seeing visions and revelations here. You are seeing images and pictures. This is the visualization phase. Am I communicating? You are not just hearing, you are seeing the word here. Are you seeing something? That's what it meant when he said, "This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do." You see something, you observe, then you do. Am I communicating? Visualization phase. Then you talk about verbalization phase. Praise God. Verbalization phase here, you vocalize the word. You murmur, you mutter, you roar the word. Am I communicating? Initially, you start by murmuring it, saying it quietly under your voice. Then the volume keeps increasing as you keep meditating. Before you know, you are even shouting the word. Am I communicating? Verbalization. There is no meditation without speaking. Speaking God's word is a part and parcel of meditation. I said the contemplation phase is silent, but listen, the verbalization phase is not silent. You speak it out. Am I communicating? You speak it out. Because at this point, you have become fully persuaded. At this point, the word of God has formed pictures in your mind. Your faith has come alive. Nobody doubts what they see. When you start visualizing the word, faith comes alive. You become fully persuaded. And then it's so easy to declare it. Am I communicating? That's why meditation always ends with confession. Okay? That's verbalization. It always ends with confessing the word. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Okay? There is no meditation without speaking. So you meditate on the word and then you observe to do. That's the next thing. You do the word. You practice it. The Bible says the doers of the word are the ones that are blessed. Not what? Hearers only. Glory to God. It's the doers of the word that are blessed, not just the hearers. So the blessing is in the doing. Glory to God. Meditation is important because it helps you. How do I put it now? Meditation will spur you to do the word. Meditation will make you do the word. Are you seeing something? The energy and the desire to do the word is unlocked through meditation. You receive and assess both the desire and the energy to do the word after you have meditated richly on the word. The reason why many people don't do the word is because they don't feel like it. Their feelings are not in support. But question, is there a way to make you feel like doing it? Yes. How? Start with meditation. When you richly meditate on the word, it will create in you the desire and give you the power to do the word. Are you seeing something? That's why he said, "This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do." He didn't say, "and thou mayest observe." He said, "that thou." In other words, the doing is a necessary consequence of meditation. Doing God's word is a necessary consequence or byproduct of rich meditation. The two are not separated. Are you seeing something? It says, "thou shalt meditate during day and night, that thou mayest observe to do." It didn't say, "and thou." It's not two separate things. Are you seeing something? And when you do the word, you are blessed. When you practice the word, you receive the blessing. So, this is very, very, very... You see, I took a long time talking about sowing the seed of God's word. Why? This is the greatest seed. Any other thing you need, every other kind of harvest, it starts by sowing the seed of God's word. If you sow financial seed without the understanding of God's word, it will affect your harvest. You may not get your harvest, or you may not get the required returns. Why? Because you lack understanding. Am I communicating? It doesn't matter what else you want to do. You start by sowing the seed of God's word. Whether it is business, you know, just like a man of God will say, I came to Jos with nothing. I came to Lagos to start ministry with only 2 naira 50 kobo. But I came with faith and a word from God. God gave me a word that go down and raise me a people. Now, it's the same principle, oh. It's the same principle for a Christian businessman. You start that business with the word of God. Aya. Are you hearing what I'm saying? See, your business must be based on God's word. What is the rhema you receive from God? And where is the scriptural backing? That should be the foundation. Are you getting me? You must have received a word from God that will spoil your faith, that your faith will be based upon, that the vision of the business will be based upon as an entrepreneur. The same thing with your career and job. The same thing with your home, your family. Everything must be based on God's word. You want a successful marriage? Start by sowing the seed of God's word. Are you getting me? You build that marriage on the word of God. You build your home, you raise your children on the word of God. You want success? You want greatness in your career, in your job? It must be based on God's word. You start by sowing the seed of God's word. That's why we say the word is the greatest seed. Glory to God. I say glory to God. Look at AGMI vision. Can you see that? There are scriptures under. Can you see it? It's the same thing. When you are writing the vision for your business, you must have scriptures to back it up. The seed is the word of God. Tell your neighbor, the seed, the ultimate seed, is the word of God. Let's finish our reading. Mark chapter 4, verse 17. Okay, we're looking at those that fell on stony ground. It says, these are the ones that have no root in themselves, those seed that fell on stony ground, and so endure but for a while. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. Say with me, I refuse to be offended. See, when Satan brings contrary experience to the word of God that you have heard and understood, refuse to be offended. Keep insisting on God's word. I say keep insisting on God's word. Keep insisting on God's word. Refuse to be offended at God's word. He does not invalidate the truth. Are you getting me? Negative contrary experience does not invalidate the truth of God's word. You don't use your experience to judge the veracity or correctness of God's word. It is your experience that should line up with the truth of God's word, not the other way around. We don't preach our experience, we preach the word of God. Our positive experience in line with the word of God, they only give credence to the word. They don't validate or invalidate the word. Are you listening? So, if I experience anything opposite of God's word, I will rather believe the word and keep insisting and keep checking. Where did I miss it? What do I need to adjust? What didn't I understand? Are you getting me? To align with the truth of scriptures. I won't say this word is a lie just because I experienced the opposite. No. Then, verse 18, it says, these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. He said the seed that fell on thorny grounds, those that fell among thorns, he said there are people that heard the word, but they allow the cares of this world. The cares of this world. What shall we eat? What shall we drink? Wherewith shall we be clothed? Am I communicating? And some of these are legitimate human needs. Am I communicating? Food, clothing, shelter, all of that. They allow those things. And then the Bible said the deceitfulness of riches. This is why God trains his children before committing kingdom wealth into their hands. Because there's what we call the deceitfulness of riches. Money has power, okay? And money can do so many things. In fact, I think it's a research that shows that 80% of the regular prayer points in most churches, 80% of it can be met by money. Money will solve it. Am I communicating? That's to tell you how powerful money is. But there's what we call the deceitfulness of riches. Let me explain. When you get to a point that the money you have is now making you to trust in money instead of trusting in God, you have become a victim of what? The deceitfulness of riches. When you come to a point in which your faith is now in your money, not in God that gave you the money, then you have become a victim of what? Deceitfulness of riches. When you come to a point that you have so much money that you are now beginning to love money more than you love God, then you have become a victim of what? Deceitfulness of riches. When you come to a point in which money is now taking the place that only God is supposed to take in your life, the throne of your heart that God is supposed to sit, it is money that is now sitting there, then you have become a victim of what? The deceitfulness of riches. When you get to a point that the money you have has now make you carnal, you are no longer spiritual, as in you have lost your spirituality, your prayer life is dead, is down, you don't study your Bible, you don't even pray. You say, well, why should I pray when I have money? Why should I pray? You know, there are some rich people like that. When they see you praying like this, festival of fire, they will just laugh at you. You say, these people, they are jobless. Are you seeing something? Then you are, the person has become not you. The person has become what? A victim of what? You know, Jesus said you cannot serve money and mammon. That's to show you something, that money, Satan hides behind money to crave for human worship. There is a connection between worship and wealth. You remember in that mountain of temptation, when Satan took Jesus to the pinnacle of the mountain, and then he said, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. Then later he said, if you are the Son of God, bow down and worship me. After he showed him all the kingdoms of this world and their glory, and the glory there is talking of their riches, their wealth, Satan said, all this was handed over to me by Adam, and I can give it to whomsoever I will. He said, Jesus, I will give you on one condition. Bow down and worship me. Can you see the connection between worship and wealth? That's why when people join cult, or when people go to Satan for money, what they are actually trading is their allegiance, their loyalty, and their worship for the wealth Satan is giving them. Are you seeing something? There is a connection between worship and wealth. Satan wants to be worshipped. And then Satan sat down and asked himself a question. What is the one thing that the people of this world, they run after? It's called money. The rat race of life is all about money. Okay? He said, this is the most important thing to humanity. So he decided now to make it this way, that I will make it difficult for people to get this money except they pledge their allegiance to me. When they bow to me, when they decide, choose to worship me, then I'll make it easier to give it to them. Are you seeing something? When you cannot use your money to serve God, chances are very high that you will end up serving that money. You will end up worshiping your money. And the worship of Mammon is one of the things that the deceitfulness of riches is all about. Am I communicating? That money has now taken the place of God in your heart. I thought over and over again that it is the will of God for his children to have money, but it is not the will of God for money to have you. There's a difference between having money and money having you. What does it mean when money has you? That money is now controlling you. You cannot even freely give it because money is controlling you. Money can tell you don't go for service. Are you seeing something? Some people say, I'm shocked. There was a time it came to my notice that during glory service, they are even trading forex, trading crypto during AGMI service. What? That's the height of what? That's the height of disrespect. Is it the same God you want him to help you? You are in service and you are trading during service. Abba. Hausa say habamana. Let me tell you the truth. By that action, you are trying to tell God that I value money more than I value you. You are not yet a candidate for kingdom wealth. You need a lot of. You still have a very long way to go. Am I communicating? Listen. When you start overcoming the deceitfulness of riches, then God can trust you and entrust you with kingdom wealth. When you prove to God by your actions that your faith is in God and not in money, your trust is in God and not in money, you love God, you don't love money. Am I communicating? And this thing is not just saying it by mouth. You are proving it by your action. Am I communicating? Okay. Let me bring it home. Make it easier. How many of you? Tomorrow is glory service, ba? Eh? By 3 p.m. is the grand finale of our teaching series on first readings of grace. Let's say you have a business contract that coincides with service time. And only you and God know. Nobody else is aware. You have a business deal that will fetch you $100,000 or $1,000,000. And the time is clashing with AGMI service. If AGMI service is 3 to 7, the business deal they told you to is 3 to 7. The two of them are the same. Question, which one will you go for? The deceitfulness of. Now listen, for those that have not overcome the spirit of Mammon, do you know they will forgo glory service and go for that? Because to them, that one is more important. And truly, to them, it is more important. It's not a lie. To them, I didn't say they are correct. It's all about your value system. Are you seeing something? Forgetting that. What they are having an appointment with the monarch of the universe. They don't see it as anything. What the word of God and fellowship with the Holy Ghost they are coming here for, they don't put more value to it. To them, that $1,000,000 is far more important. Now listen, God will not kill them. Oh, God will allow them go. But guess what? It has communicated to God that this person, I cannot trust him for higher levels of kingdom wealth. That's the message you just passed to God. So you have limited the amount of financial blessings that God can commit to you, because tomorrow you can do something worse that may even destroy your life. Are you seeing something? But the person that tells God, I value your presence more than $1 million, I value my appointment with you more than $1 million, and the word of God I'm coming to receive, that person has communicated to God that they trust God more than money. They love God more than money. They value God and His presence more than money. God can trust such people more and entrust real kingdom wealth to them. I see something. These things are very practical. How can you miss service because of football match? Is it because your club is playing? You are like Esau. That's the truth. You are like Esau. Trading spiritual things for things that have no eternal value is the definition of profanity. I like football, oh. In my free time, I watch football. But I can never trade it for spiritual. Listen, I cannot miss glory service or miss any of our meeting or miss my appointment with God because of any football match. Or for anything at all. Some people say it's not football, it's one TV show. TV show. Or maybe drama series. Or maybe they release latest movie and they are showing the series. I must not miss this episode. They are glory service. Yeah, that one they can wait now. After all, 5 minutes to the end, I will show up. After I have finished watching. God is watching. Not you. I'm only saying God is watching. I'm telling you. God, your action is telling God a lot about you. You know, God loves everybody, but He does not trust all His children. You have to prove yourself to be trustworthy. And the things God will commit to you is directly proportional to His level of trust. Kingdom wealth and all of that is about entrustment. Am I communicating? This is why God is afraid of committing certain level of wealth and resources to some people. Because the one He has given them, He is seeing what has become of them. Small millions enter your hand, you stop praying, you stop coming for services. They are even calling you, you cannot pick the call, giving excuses upon excuses upon excuses. God is watching. You are passing a message to Him by your actions. Are you getting me? Do you know prayer is a declaration of dependence on God? Absolute dependence. And the primary purpose of prayer itself is for fellowship. It's not even to ask God things. You can do the asking while you are fellowshipping with Him, or after you are fellowshipped with Him. Are you seeing something? He says the deceitfulness of riches. So when riches are telling you no need to pray, what will you answer? What will be your answer? When riches are telling you that the money you have can take the place of God in your heart, what will you tell that riches? Am I communicating? This is very important, because this is one of the temptations that come with wealth. It's called the deceitfulness of riches. Deceiving you to making you believe that your money can do everything that God can do. As in, your money will take the place of God in your heart. It's called the deceitfulness of riches. Do you know the average billionaire, multi-billionaire in dollars, that is not born again? In his mind, many of them, they believe their money can do everything for them. So that's why they don't even see their any need for God. You come to preach to them, give your life to Christ, they'll just look at you and laugh. They will even start by telling you, how much is in your account? What's your net worth? Because to them, they believe their money can do everything, until they begin to realize the limitations of their money. Am I communicating? By the time cancer shows up, and their money can afford the best medical treatment in the world, their money can afford it, but the doctors look at them and shake their head that there's nothing we can do, then they will know the limitations of their money, right? By the time they are flying in their private jet and the engine packed right in the air, and then they shout, "Oh God!" Maybe that's when some of them will remember God. Then they know that their money can buy private jet, but it cannot guarantee their protection and safety. They may build the best house, mansion, and all of that, but when there is no peace in that home, then they will know that their money cannot buy peace. Abi, cannot buy joy. Am I communicating? You know, some people are funny. Well, somebody wrote, he said, money cannot buy happiness. Then somebody replied, neither can poverty. I'm not talking of happiness, I'm talking of joy. Joy is a fruit of the spirit. It's only those that are born again that are entitled to joy. Money cannot buy joy. Are you getting me? Money cannot give you a successful marriage. Money alone. It must be built on the word of God. Are you getting me? Money can build a house, but it cannot give you a home. Do you know the difference between a home and a house? The house is the building, the mansion, whatever, the duplex. But a home is when there is a culture of love, joy, and peace in that house. That's what makes it a home. Money can buy the most expensive bed, but can it buy sleep? In fact, some people have died in their sleep, two of us. Are we together? Can money give you peace? Can money give peace? There are some very wealthy people, but they don't have peace. Are you getting me? So don't be a victim of what? The deceitfulness of riches. Say with me, in the name of Jesus, money can never take the place of God in my heart. That's why you must learn to use your money to worship God. Use your money to serve God. Okay? Because money on its own is a master. And when you conquer that money, you now use it to serve your own master, which is Jehovah. You are doing God one of the greatest service. Am I communicating? You know, in those days, have you watched all these medieval movies in which the general or maybe the captain of a particular army of a kingdom will go and fight another kingdom, and then they will defeat the kingdom, they will now kill their king and carry the head safe and come back and present it before their king, and everybody will be shouting, "Hey, In other words, the greatest honor they can do for their king is to conquer another king and come and present the head. Jesus said, you cannot serve two masters. He said, God and mammon. So that's to tell you that money on its own is a master. Jesus even recognizes it as a master. It has a tendency to control people. It has a tendency to be worshipped by people. So God is saying, the greatest honor you can do to him, one of the greatest honor, is to conquer that master called money. And then you now use it to serve your God. Are you seeing that? You use it to what? Serve God. And that's one of the best way you kill greed and covetousness, okay? It's by using your money to serve God. Glory to God. I say glory to God. The seed is a word. Then he said, those that fell. Okay. He says, those that fell among thorns are those that hear the word, but they allow the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things. Okay. Lust of the eyes. Lust of what? The flesh and the pride of life, lust of other things, entering in, they choke the word and it becomes unfruitful. Then verse 20, it says, these are they which are sown on good ground. It says, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit. Say with me, my heart is a good ground. Okay. It says, the word produced result in this particular group. It brought forth how many fold? Some 30, some 60, and some 100. What is the cause of the difference in the level of fruitfulness in the world in this good ground? Is what? Their level of understanding. Okay? So, the result they get is in accordance with their level of understanding. Do you know, we can come for glory service, the same message was preached to the same congregation, but people's level of understanding is the determinant of the result they get from the word that they have heard. So the same message, different results in the life of the people. That's why the Bible says, with all your getting, get understanding. Get understanding. Get understanding. Kalebo kosefe letena. Mala brande kepora katiza. Get understanding. Some produce 30-fold. Some produce 60-fold. Stop envying people's result. Go for understanding. Some produce what? 100-fold. Hola gabasha. Isepe letena. Lakabasuvra kidas. So you learn to sow the seed of God's word into the soil of your heart. In that same Mark chapter 4, let me show you something. Mark 4:24. Look at this, very interesting. He said, and he said unto them, take heed what ye hear. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured what? It shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given. Let me read it from Amplified. I like the way the Amplified version puts it. I want to bring out something. Hallelujah. This is the ultimate seed you can ever sow, is the seed of God's word. Hallelujah. Mark chapter 4, verse 24. He said, and he said unto them, take heed what ye hear. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured unto you. Now, let's see Amplified. He said unto them, be careful what you are hearing. Be careful what you are hearing. The measure of thought and study. the measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear will be the measure of virtue and knowledge that comes back to you. The more besides will be given to you who hear. Hallelujah. He says the measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear is what determines the measure of virtue and knowledge. That's the measure of power and revelation that will come back to you. Hallelujah. Then in verse 26, Mark 4:26, and he said unto them, so is the kingdom of heaven, as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring up, and he knoweth not how. Hallelujah. So you labor to sow the seed of God's word through repetitive, constant bombardment of your heart and mind with the word of God. Hallelujah. You see, he says, it's as if a man should cast seed. That cast there connotes some level of violence. It means to violently insert the seed of God's word. That's how you sow it, into the soil of your heart. It says, when you do that, you can now go to sleep. It says, the seed will spring up and grow. Then verse 28, it says, for the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, and then the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he put it in the sickle, because the harvest is come. Hallelujah. Because the harvest is come. In Luke chapter 5, let me show you something very interesting. Luke chapter 5. Before that miraculous catch of fish, you know, Peter was a fisherman, a professional fisherman. He was into the fishing business. Okay, they even have a boat. Before that miracle in his business, before that business breakthrough, look at what happened. Luke chapter 5 verse 1. It came to pass that as the people pressed upon him, that's Jesus, to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And watch this, he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night, we've taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net. And when they had this done, that's obedience, when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net break. Verse 7. And they beckoned unto their partners, and which were in the other ship, and that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both ships, so that they began to sink. Hallelujah. Now, before this business breakthrough of boat sinking, crowd pulling, miraculous catch of fish, did you notice that Jesus used Peter's ship to what? To teach God's word. Are you seeing something? He used it to preach and to teach the word. Why? Because the seed is the ultimate, the seed of God's word is the most important and ultimate seed that will lead to any form of breakthrough. Are you seeing that? The teaching and preaching of God's word is like you are sowing seed into people's heart. It becomes the breeding ground for miraculous, for the miraculous to occur. The miracle of supernatural catch of fish, that business breakthrough will not have happened if Jesus had not sown the seed of God's word. It is a breeding ground for the miraculous. Are you seeing something? So that's why I made that statement. The word of God is valid in every area. Sowing the seed of God's word is necessary in every area. Whether it is business breakthrough you desire, whether it is financial breakthrough, whether it is breakthrough in your career, in your job, whether you want a miracle, you want God to change your health, every area, you start by what? Sowing the seed of God's word. Am I communicating? Kelebuku sabakataya. Sowing to the spirit. You start by sowing the seed. On the word, you speak the word continually, regardless of what is happening in the physical. Am I communicating? And then you are a doer of the word. You do the word and persevere in doing it. Glory to God. Then the second dimension of sowing to the spirit is sowing seeds of prayers with fasting. You sow seed of prayer with fasting. Seed of prayer with fasting. Glory to God. Acts chapter 6, verse 4. The apostle said, but we will give ourselves continually. Somebody say continually. We will give ourselves continually to what? To prayer and what? The ministry of the word. We will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Listen, your spirituality depends on these two factors. Your spiritual growth principally depends on prayer and the ministry of the word. If you neglect these two, you are going nowhere. Your spiritual growth will be stunted. Am I communicating? So you must be committed to sowing the seed of prayer. Sowing the seed of God's word. We started by looking at God's word. Now I'm talking about prayer. Hallelujah. Every time you invest time in prayer, you are sowing a seed. You are depositing. You are sowing to the spirit. You are depositing into your spiritual bank account. Hallelujah. Prayer will give you wisdom. James 1 verse 5. He said, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. When you are going through any form of crisis, you are going through test and trial, your number one petition is for wisdom. Is for wisdom. What you need to handle that situation is wisdom. Am I communicating? Every form of challenge, every form of problem you are having has a wisdom solution. It has a wisdom solution. And one of the ways you assess wisdom vitally is through prayer. Say, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. How did Solomon receive wisdom? It was through an encounter with God in a dream of the night. Hallelujah. God imparted to him the wisdom that he needed to govern Israel. And that wisdom made him the richest, the wealthiest man before Jesus. Hallelujah. When you sow the seed of prayer, you sow the seed of fasting, you reap a harvest of what? The anointing, the power of God, divine energy. James 5:16b. I like the way the Amplified puts it. It said, the earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous Hallelujah. So, when you spend time in prayer, you are sowing to the Spirit. You are not wasting time, you are sowing to the Spirit. Am I communicating? You are sowing spiritual seed. You are sowing spiritual seed. You are making rich spiritual investment. When you spend time fasting, you are making spiritual investment into your future. Am I communicating? There is such a thing as the heaping up of prayer. Heaping up of prayer for the future. This is how you secure the future. You secure it first spiritually. Am I communicating? Listen, the prayer you are praying today will help you tomorrow. The seed of prayer you are sowing today will save your life tomorrow. Am I communicating? That The Bible says, if the cloud be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. Sometimes you'll be praying. It will look as if nothing is changing in the physical. No problem. Continue. Keep doing it consistently. The truth is that changes are happening in the spiritual realm. They are happening in a realm where these eyes cannot see. So it is not true that nothing is happening. In this realm, the fact that you've not seen changes yet does not mean things are not happening from the realm of the spirit. Changes start from the spirit realm before they appear in the physical. Am I communicating? So you must be consistent. You must be consistent. Keep doing it consistently. What are you doing? You are filling your clouds. You are filling your clouds. You are filling your clouds. Remember, rain does not fall until the cloud is filled up. So, when the cloud is getting filled up, does it mean nothing is happening? Something is happening. It's just that it has not reached the point of saturation. But when you get discouraged, when you become weary and then you give up, what will happen? There will be no rain. Tell your neighbor, refuse to give up. Don't be weary in well doing. Keep sowing those seed of prayer. Keep sowing those seed of fasting. Because when the cloud is full of rain, there must be a rainfall. They empty themselves upon the earth. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I say glory to God. You know, sometimes you are praying about something. As in, I'm not talking of this kind of prayer that you are not praying with understanding. No. I mean, you are praying with understanding in line with the word of God, according to the rule that govern that kind of prayer. And yet, you are not seeing any physical changes. Now, can you remember when Elijah was praying for rain? He climbed Mount Carmel. He put his head between his knees. After 1 hour, he told the servant, go and check. What did the servant say? Nothing. Did Elijah stop? Was he discouraged? Did he say, oh God, I'm praying and nothing happened? Mm-mm. He understands spiritual things. After another 1 hour, he told his servant, go and check. They came back and said nothing. He said he didn't see anything. What did he do? Did he stop? No. So there must be an element of persistence. There must be perseverance. There must be consistency. Consistency is a law of success. You can never succeed at anything that you are not consistent at. I was talking with my wife. I said, do you know why a lot of people start to somebody out of excitement, motivation, and it's good, and all of that. They will start something. It may be a business, or they will start doing something. They will start a vision. Then after a while, they abandon it. Why did they abandon it? Lack of consistency. You can never succeed at anything you are not consistent at. The law of consistency states that you keep doing that thing, whether you feel like it or not. You keep showing up. Feelings or no feeling, you do it. Am I communicating? You discipline yourself to keep doing it. Whether you are seeing immediate result or not, for instance, let me give you an example. If you make up your mind that, okay, I will be using my social media handle, maybe Facebook, I will be making posts, edifying content, rich content that will bless life, I will be making posts every day. That's a decision, right? Now, the next thing is that you must make up your mind that I must be doing this consistently. There will be days that you will not feel like it. But the law of consistency demands that you keep doing it. There will be days that you even get discouraged. You check your previous post, 2 likes, 3 likes. Listen, the law of consistency states that even if you have 0 likes, keep doing it. Results or no results in the immediate, keep doing it. Feelings or no feeling, keep doing it. Am I communicating? Because when the cloud is full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. When you are consistent, it will soon reach a point of saturation that rain will start falling. Some people, they start this business today, they say they are into shoe business. After 3 months, they abandon it. Say, that one no they sell, you know they move, you know they move. They switch to another one. Now, you say, now clothes will they sell now. Somebody is now looking for shoe. I thought you were selling shoe. He said, I don't stop 3 months ago. He said, now na clothes I they sell. They do that one again for another 7 months. They stop. Say, that one no they sell. He said, we now barb. I have a barbing saloon now. I barb hair. They do that one again for another two months. He said, our customers know they come. They stop. Do you know you are confusing people? It's true. Inconsistency is a major cause of failure. People cannot even trust you again. Even the wife you are supposed to marry cannot trust you again. You are confusing her. Today you say you are into this. Tomorrow you are into that. Next tomorrow, the lady will start thinking, "Chai, is my life saved in this person's hand? Why no enter one chance?" So. It's as if this person is confused. That's why before you start any business, before you start anything, be sure it is the will of God. And once you clarify that, stick with it. No matter the challenge, stay there until you receive next instruction. If God does not tell you to move, don't move. Stay there. Am I communicating? Whether it is working or not, stay there. Keep working it until it works. Are you getting me? Tell your neighbor, keep working it until it work. That's it. Consistency. It's the same thing with your prayer. If you fix your prayer time from this time to this time, you must be consistent. Whether you feel like it or not, once that time reaches, whether you feel like it or not, continue praying. And continue praying until you feel like it. Am I communicating? It's not every time that you always have the motivation. Whatever you start with motivation must continue with discipline and commitment, or else it will not work. Consistency requires commitment, unwavering commitment. Consistency requires diligence. Consistency requires discipline. You must discipline yourself. Am I communicating? You must discipline yourself. Now, let me give you an example. Imagine AGMI. We meet this Sunday. We don't meet next Sunday. We meet Upper Sunday. We don't meet again for the next 3 Sundays. If you were someone that came for the first time, and then you came next Sunday, you realize no service. And then later we called you and said, we're having service next Sunday, and then you came, and then for the next 2 Sundays, no service. Will you still want to come again? Talk to me. Will you still want to come? No. Why? Because these people are not consistent. You will say in your mind, we are not serious, but do you know it's a similar message you pass across anytime you do something without consistency? That's the message you are passing to the audience. That's the message you are passing to your customers as a business person. Today you show up, tomorrow you don't show up. Without consistency, self, can you be a graduate? If you only go to lecture, go to school, the days that you feel like it, you wake up motivated, school will be sweet today. If you only go to school only those times, will you ever graduate? See, consistency is a law. You bring the same thing when it comes to prayer. It's the same principle. If we are to do this ministry based on feelings, are we still going to be here today? We won't be here. We will have closed shop long ago. Am I communicating? You never succeed at anything without consistency. Every Friday, I have to be at PRTV after leaving prayers. Sometimes I will feel tired. Then Saturday morning, I have to wake up, will be with JFM, me and my wife. There are days that I will not even feel like it. But feelings have nothing in this business of consistency. I have to shake off feelings. Anything you build on feelings alone will fail. Go and write it down. Anything you build on feelings alone must fail. Because feelings are not always there. Even marriage. It's not every day you'll be having all those romantic feelings. Romance is good. But romance alone will not sustain marriage. There must be commitment. Am I communicating? Is that not why a lot of white people are divorcing each other? They were head over heels over each other. Oh, before they got married. Just give them 3 months, 6 months. They say, I have no feelings for him anymore. I have no feelings for her anymore. I think we don't love each other again. What next? Divorce. Anything built on feelings alone will never last. That's the truth. You must build by commitment. Even love, after making your choice, you must be committed to the choice. Abi? Must be committed to the choice. So you make the decision, whether it is prayer or fasting or anything, then you back up the decision with what? Commitment. Consistency. Are we together? Somebody was reminding me that he remembers some years back, I think it was Dr. Ganao was speaking recently, he's in the UK. He said then when we started AGMI in College of Accountants, he said, sometimes you see people, they are not even up to 20 for glory service. Very few people, but I will be preaching with so much passion. I'll be preaching my heart out with so much passion. You know, that's how I am. Whether it is 2 people or 2 million, it doesn't change my message. I will preach with the same passion. It's called the law of consistency. Nobody ever goes anywhere without consistency. Nobody ever goes anywhere without consistency. This is the problem with many of you. You are not consistent at what you do. You are even confusing the angels. Isaac is laughing. You're confusing the angels. You told them that your prayer time is 5:30 to 6 p.m. every morning. And angels are very faithful. Do you know? They will be there waiting for you by 5:30. Then you didn't show up. The angels are checking time. Angel this, is it not yet time? He says, okay, maybe he's still on his way. They waited for you 5:15, 5:20, 5 this one, 5 that one, 6 p.m. They will tap each other. My guy, no show. So, you are confusing the angels. Am I communicating? Do you know the moment we said Festival of Fire is holding today? Do you know angels were already here? When some of you were still rolling on your bed, 8 p.m., 8 a.m., when meeting have started, 7:30, that's when you are brushing teeth. Angels were already here. That's why starting a meeting late is very wrong. Angels are already there. Am I communicating? That's why I always tell people, once it is time, even if there are only two people in that hall, start the meeting. Start the meeting. Because angels are already there. They keep to time. The Holy Ghost is there. And that's the most important person. Start the meeting. Glory to God. I say glory to God. Somebody say consistency. Say, I receive grace for consistency. So you sow the seed of prayer. Jesus said, okay, thank you. We'll soon do practical session of prayer. You sow the seed of prayer. Do you know, let me tell you something. How did I start walking in the anointing? Do you know, I was praying. I was sowing seed of prayer some years back. I was not seeing any visible manifestation of the anointing. But I kept praying. Am I communicating? I kept praying. I was not seeing any visible manifestation of the anointing, yet I kept praying. Until one day, I broke into this thing. Are you seeing something? That's the power of consistency. So don't make any devil lie to you that your prayers are not working. Rise to your feet. They are working. Let's do small practical session. Am I communicating? Now, this is how we will do this prayer. I want us to form a big cycle like this. Okay, like this. Like that. Am I communicating? Can we form a big cycle? We are sowing the seed of prayer. Prayer is a seed. Prayer and fasting is a seed for revival. Revival don't just happen, no. You want to see revival in Plateau State, in Jos, in Nigeria. You must sow the seed of prayer and fasting. Was it not after 13 solid years? Okay? Okay, no, you mustn't climb up. I think like this is okay. Was it not after 13 solid years of prayers, heartfelt, the earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man called Evans Robert? Was it not after 13 years that the fire of revival fell in Wales? Am I communicating? The earnest, this is how you are going to pray, oh, earnest, continued prayer of a righteous man makes what? Tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. Through prayers, you receive answers. And prayer and fasting is the seed for revival, the move of the Spirit, the anointing. Through prayer, you bet the leading of the Spirit. Prayer will sensitize your spirit to the voice and leading of the Holy Ghost. Through prayer, you experience spiritual growth. Through prayers, you experience what we call transformation. Prayer does not just change things, it changes you. Okay? It changes you. It transforms you to become more and more Christ-like. It transforms your character. It transforms your person. When Jesus went to pray at the Mount of Transfiguration, the Bible says the fashion of his countenance was altered. His garment was white and glistering. And there appeared cloven tongues like as of fire. Hallelujah. We are going to pray for families. We are going to pray for communities within this state. We are going to pray for this city. We are going to pray for Nigeria. We are going to intercede for your loved ones. Malika Borakidas. Mende Bresko Tekida. He said, let the priests weep. Joel 2 verse 15. Let them weep between the porch and the altar. Let them say, spare thy people, O God. Give not thy heritage unto reproach. You want to see changes, positive changes in every area of the society, you must sow the seed of prayer. You must sow the seed of prayer. You must sow the seed of fasting. You want to see the move of God. Am I communicating? You want to see revival. You want to see mighty, miraculous manifestation. These things don't just happen. They are made to happen. You start by sowing the seed of prayer. Glory to God. Kila boko seketia. Mande bresko tequila barakidas. Eli frato segida. He said, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. Makeli sofeledia. We are praying for a mighty outpouring of the Spirit upon our families, upon our loved ones, upon our communities, upon our city, the city of Jos, upon Plateau, the land of Plateau, upon our nation. A mighty outpouring of the Spirit. He said, until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high, and the wilderness shall become a fruitful field, and the fruitful field shall be counted for a forest. This is the key to revival. This is the key to massive moves of the Spirit. Azusa Street revival was provoked by the prayers of William J. Seymour and his little prayer group of people. William J. Seymour prayed for over, 7.5 years for the revival that broke out in Azusa. Are we ready to pray? Are there changes you desire in your life? Are there changes you desire in your family? Are there changes you desire in our nation? In our city? In this Plateau state, in the land of Plateau, in Jos, are there changes you want to see? Then we must sow the seed of prayer. We must intercede for this land. God said, I sought for a man that will stand in the gap. We are more than one man here. We are joining force in prayer. We want to see massive move that we completely eradicate the spirit of religion from this city. Having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. I hate religion with passion. No more religion. No more. It shall not be said anymore that Plateau is a religious city. We are going to suffocate the spirit of religion out of this city. We are going, see, the word of God, we will fill everywhere with the word. The word of God will grow mightily and prevail over this city. I want you to lift up your voice and begin to cry out for mighty outpouring, torrential outpouring of the Holy Ghost. I don't want too much sound. Just give me only keyboard, because I want you to really pray. It's your prayer I want to hear. It's your prayer I want to hear, not the sound of the drum. Let your prayer become the sound of the drum. Let it become the rhythm. Shalikova. Kapakata, kapakata, kapakatai. Make sure your mouth is praying. We are praying for the move of the Spirit.
We believe you're blessed by this message. Our goal is to raise a glory generation that will walk in kingdom dominion and manifest the word of God as a lifestyle. To download more messages by Dr. Lucas Sagnon King or to partner with us, please visit www.avalancheofglory.org. Subscribe to our YouTube and Telegram channel. Also follow us on Facebook and Instagram at the Avalanche of Glory Ministries International. Call 080-6530-2610 or 070-3699-1158 for more information. We love and celebrate you.